the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark, managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com and analyst at Chiefs Digest. And I have with me today Mark Schofield from Locked On Patriots, but also from IT Pod. Well, I'll let you tell them where all you're from, sir.
What's going on, Chris? Good to be with you. Best way to find me at Mark Schofield on Twitter. Like you said, host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, but all right for places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites. And my friend, I know it's bittersweet today to chat about Mahomes and things like that, but always good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and I have to say it, you know, regardless of how most of Chiefs Kingdom feels, congratulations on making it to the Super Bowl yet another time.
Well, thanks, buddy. But yeah, I mean, this was from a Chiefs fan perspective, I can only imagine what it's like right now to have the kind of season that you guys had, you know, and to have the kind of talent you guys assembled. But the good news is that you do have this talent in place, and with the guy that we're going to talk about, it seems like, you know, the sky's the limit for this team for the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. And Mahomes is set to have, you know, a great career, in my opinion, going forward. He, you know, there's a lot of things that defensive coordinators will look at over the, you know, off season to try to figure out how to stop him next year. But I think we need to get into that. How likely is it that they're going to be able to find something that stops him? Because to me, what the Patriots did last night, they blitzed a lot. And don't get me wrong, that's a big thing. And the Chiefs offensive line has to get that figured out. But Mahomes is seemingly, in my opinion, at least grown from every experience he's had this year. So I really don't think that that's going to be as big of an issue next year. I think he's going to know more about his hot reads and be able to adjust the line a little bit better.
Yeah, I think, you know, this will be, from Mahomes' standpoint, sort of a game that he might not want to rewatch it anytime soon, but at some point he'll sit down and go through it and start to see that, look, you know, there are some hot reads that I should have made. There were some throws that I should have made. There were some escape routes that I should have chose better. I think if there was, you know, one main criticism I had of Mahomes after that game, it was there were times when he needs to learn to step up, and there are times he needs to learn to escape out the back door and sort of pick and choose his spots better. And yes, there were times when the Patriots would run some double loop stunts and things like that to force him to climb into pressure, and then the loopers would get there. But I do think he needs to do a better spot of picking and choosing when he's going to escape and be creative, and when he's just going to slide and climb and, you know, move towards the line of scrimmage. He had the sack that took them out of field goal range, which I think was a big play at that moment. So he needs to get better in that sense. But you're right, Chris. This is going to be a learning game type of game for him, and he'll be a better quarterback as a result. And I think when you look at what teams might try to do next year, when you talk about defending Patrick Mahomes, pressure's going to be one thing. You know, we saw that there are times that, you know, he made some mistakes when he was pressured, but that can only hold up for so long. I mean, and we saw in this game, we saw in the week six game that some of the pressure stuff was able to slow them down. But I think the offense, Andy Reid and company, did a very good job at halftime of both of those games, the week six game and the AFC championship game, of figuring out, okay, this is what they're doing. And they made the adjustments that they need to outscore New England in the second half of both of those games. And part of that's adjustments, part of that's coaching, part of that is Mahomes sort of learning on the fly during the course of a game. Okay, this is now what I have to do to be successful tonight in this game. So I think it's a bitter loss, I know, but I think it's one of those that in the long run is going to make him a better quarterback.
I have to agree with you completely on that. Excuse me. The one thing I will say is, it's funny you mentioned that he needs to learn to climb the pocket, because I did say that on Monday's podcast. And I'm not trying to pat my own back, but that's one thing that stuck out to me is those sacks that he had. You know, people are trying to blame the offensive tackles. You can't blame the offensive tackles when he's getting hit 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I mean, because
the tackles, they have to go to a certain depth, and they got to figure the quarterback's going to stay in front of that. You just can't play on an island out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, when you're, you know, it's one thing to get sacked for a loss of 7. It's another to get sacked for a loss of 14. And every sort of pass protection is designed with a drop depth in mind. And so whether, you know, if it's a three-step drop, they're going to flat set because they just don't want to get quick protection. If it's a deeper drop, they're going to arc a little bit. They're going to kick slide a little bit. And they're going to set up knowing that the quarterback is going to be at a depth about, you know, 8 to 9 yards in the pocket. And so that's what they're going to aim for. And if the quarterback then bounces and, you know, drops deeper, you're basically dropping yourself into pressure. That's why, you know, climbing the pocket as a quarterback, it's a very unnatural thing to do because you drop away from the line of scrimmage to get away from all of those big guys. The last thing you want to do is then go back towards them. It's an unnatural movement. It's an unnatural feeling. But it's the right thing to do because that's how pockets are designed to work. The second you take yourself away from that, all you're doing is making life harder for the guys on the edges who are blocking these edge rushers because you're basically running into pressure and allowing the edge rusher, instead of fighting through the tackle, to then disengage and work away from it. And the tackle loses any leverage advantage they have. And so Mahomes has to do better in those moments. You know, you pointed it out. Other people sort of pointed it out during the game, after the game, that look, he's a fantastic quarterback, but this is one of the things that he needs to refine, is some of that pocket present stuff.
Yeah. And those are things that he's going to learn as he gets, you know, better in this league, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, because for a quarterback that is going to be 23 years old at the start of the 2019 season and threw 50 touchdowns and 5,100 yards almost in the air during the regular season, he still has things he can improve on. And honestly, I do expect that he's going to improve on those things. And one thing, the other thing that makes Chris Jones so valuable to the Chiefs is that he creates interior pressure, which doesn't allow a QB to step up. And that is so big, and that's also a reason that they got to solidify the interior of the line, because they got to be able to allow for that pocket to be clean on the interior side.
Yeah, and that's, you know, part of the reason the Patriots were successful last night was because they had the guys in the interior that, you know, kept Brady clean and gave him those opportunities to step up when he needed to. And, you know, interior pressure, you know, people say, and they've said for a long time, that, oh, quick interior pressure is the way to beat Brady. And it's true. But it's true because it's the way to beat all quarterbacks. I mean, you look at the Patriots and the way they beat the Chargers. You look at, you know, how the, you know, the Rams were able to get after Drew Brees, and we saw it on the interception, where you get quick interior pressure on a quarterback through either or both A gaps. It really disrupts the flow of the play. It disrupts everything that an offense is trying to do from a time and a rhythm standpoint. And it doesn't matter if you're Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, or Tom Brady, that's the way to disrupt what they're doing from an offensive perspective. And so making sure you solidify the interior of the offensive line. This isn't, you know, maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago, people thought the only people that really need to pass block are the tackles. This is a new league. Now we're seeing guys, whether it's edge rushers getting kicked inside, or guys like Chris Jones that can move the pocket and be feared pass rushers from the interior. So now you need your center and your guards to be effective pass protectors. It's why we saw a guard go early in the draft last year. It's why we might see that again. It's why it's not a waste of a pick early, because you need those guys to be able to protect the quarterback and to block those edge rusher types when they kick inside, or the guys like the Aaron Donalds and the Chris Joneses of the world.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit more about what Patrick Mahomes needs to work on moving forward. All right, so I'm guessing that this list isn't going to be extremely long, although all players can improve. But what do you see, or what did you see in last night's game that are other things that Mahomes needs to work on headed into the 2019 season?
What's interesting, and, you know, I haven't rewatched the game, so I don't know for sure that it's going to be an issue that we can sort of define and diagnose right now. But there were some missed throws, and he had some missed throws, you know, in the division round game against the Colts as well. And, you know, for example, the overthrow to Williams when Travis Kelce raised his arms, everybody in the stadium thought it was six. Everybody watching on TV, myself included, thought it was six. And he missed it. And you don't know if that was just a one-off or nerves or being over-anxious or what. You know, sometimes as a quarterback, you see somebody that wide open, you speed up the process and you sort of make the mechanics a little bit flawed. So that's one thing I do want to watch for him next year. When he gets sort of those open opportunities to make throws downfield, that he makes them. The other thing I do sort of wonder about And we saw this on the RPO that was dropped by Kelce. Some of the no-look throws, it might make it tough on his teammates because you almost wonder if Kelce was ready for that because it seemed to get on him quick. And I don't know if that's, you know, the no-look thing on that one particular play or the fact that, look, Patrick Mahomes has a fastball and it got on him quickly. But you do sort of wonder if he can start to strike the balance a little bit between doing stuff like that, which is great, and it certainly froze the linebacker. But still making throws in a way that your receivers or your tight ends or whomever are ready to catch those. So, you know, finding that balance is going to be interesting with Holmes. And, you know, dating back to when I first studied him, I always thought that that might be sort of the key for him, you know, finding the balance between the aggression and the, some of the risks that he take and being more conservative or just being more technically sound in spots. But I think overall, still, for a guy's first full season as a starter, for a guy's first foray into the playoffs, this was about, you know, absent a Super Bowl win, this is about a good of a start, I think, the Chiefs fans could have asked for.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you pointed out the overthrow to Williams. I do think that was a key play in the game. He hit a fantastic throw to Hill down the sideline, but I thought it was maybe a little bit off target from where it should have been because Hill had to come back for it, but it still was complete. But if he hits Williams on that play, it completely changes the format of the game. He missed Hunt in the week six game against the Patriots, missed a couple of other throws in the first quarter of that game, that week six game. Those are big throws that he has to hit. And, you know, honestly, on that throw to Williams, I thought he had plenty of arc on the ball. Obviously he overthrew it, but it wasn't something that he straight lined at him that we've seen in the past where he's not put enough arc on it. It's hard to see those types of plays and really look back and say, man, what if he would have hit that? Because like, you're right. I mean, you look at this season, he played phenomenal the entire year. And, you know, anytime your defense allows 37 points, it's going to be difficult for you to say that the offense fell short. But if you really look back at this game, the offense did fall short in the first half.
Yeah.
They get any points in the first half, it's a different game.
And, you know, I thought sort of a turning point, there were a couple, you know, when Brady threw that interception in the red zone, in the end zone, basically, and then the Chiefs don't capitalize, because that was one of those moments where, you know, as somebody watching from a Patriots perspective, I felt that lump in my throat, like, okay, this is where they go down the field and score. It's a 7-7 game, and that Arrowhead crowd is just out of their minds, you know, and they didn't capitalize on that, you know. And so I think, what was it? They had the fourth down stop. The fourth and one when the Patriots ran Burkhead on the inside, that was another opportunity for the Chiefs offense to go right down the field and score. And they basically go three and out. And then you have that weird sequence with the Edelman muffed punt or that was reviewed and then the tipped and interception. But those were two drives, I think, from this Chiefs offense where, look, your defense that has been maligned at times this season, that is facing some questions again this morning, your defense gets you sort of the opportunity here. You've got to go out as an offense and capitalize and put some points on the board, even if it's just a field goal, you know, take advantage of those opportunities. Because in today's NFL, you know, it's an offensive league. We all know this. If your defense gets you a stop or gets you a turnover, you've got to capitalize. And on those two drives, for example, the Chiefs didn't.
Well, and yeah, you're absolutely right on that. And anytime your defense plays 97 snaps, there's something going on offense at some point as well. And you look at the time of possession, and don't get me wrong, I get that the defense has to make stops. But when the defense did make stops, you have a fantastic point.
Yeah.
The offense didn't take over and take care of it. And if they do, it's a different game.
And if lots you look of different at,
things could have happened, you know, to change that game.
The final drive or the drive into overtime, there wasn't a ton of pressure on Brady because that defensive line was gassed. You look at some of those runs down to the red zone, guys were getting blown off the ball. I mean, I thought it might have made sense at some point for whether it's Sutton or Reed to call a timeout and basically just get some guys a breather because they were struggling. And you get three third and longs in that situation and you can't get any sort of pass rush. And Brady has time to make the right read. And, you know, he made some decisions and made some reads, made some throws with the football where, you know, the Chiefs coverage was pretty good, but where he's got a clean pocket to operate from, you know, makes his job a little bit easier.
Yep. And there's going to be plenty of talk about the Chiefs defensive unit and changes that may need to happen in the offseason. We will get to that later, but let's take another quick break right here, and then we'll come back and talk about the things that Mahomes does that's just flabbergasted us the entire season or just in this game. All right, Mark, I'll let you take it away because I'm sure there were things in that game that really made you sit there.
And they're the things that we've been talking about with him since he was drafted or even before he was drafted. The arm talent is not always has been as advertised. It's otherworldly. It's almost alien in a sense. He makes throws from arm angles, from platforms, from foot position and all that kinds of things that defy logic. And, I'm in the process of packing for the Senior Bowl. And, there's one book that I always bring with me to the Senior Bowl, and it's Steve Axman's, Coaching Quarterback Pass and Mechanics. And it's kind of like, the technical Bible of studying quarterback mechanics. And if you were to write that book today, you would need to have an entire chapter dedicated to stuff that you probably shouldn't teach your kids to do, but they're going to see on TV from Patrick Mahomes, because it's not like he's quarterback teaching tape. But at the same time, in today's NFL, where you've got these athletic guys on the other side of the ball, on the edge, in the interior, that are going to force you off your spot quickly. They're going to force you to adjust and make plays off script and off platform. Having the ability to make the kind of throws he can make from any arm angle, arm slot, platform, feet set, feet not set, is going to be the new norm, I think, in the National Football League. We're going to see more and more quarterbacks be successful with his kind of playing style because of what the position demands these days. But he's doing it at another level. And people are going to try to find the next Mahomes. We're hearing that now with guys like Drew Locke. He's a poor man. No, stop it. Like, he's one of a kind. He's an original. He is, he's a different breed. He is a cut above. And yes, there are some things that a guy like Drew Locke can do, and he can make some fadeaway throws, but it's completely different. It's completely different. And people are going to spend the next 6, 7, 8 draft cycles trying to find the next Patrick Mahomes, like they tried to find the next Dak Prescott, like they tried to find the next Tony Romo, like they tried to find the next Tom Brady, and on down the line. But these guys are all one of a kind. They're all individual, incredible talent at the quarterback position. And Mahomes has broken the mold. You won't find another one. You could try to duplicate him. You could try to find somebody that emulates some of what he does. But for what he can do right now, this point in his career, it's completely different, and it's well outside the conventional thinking.
Well, and I have to ask you specifically, what did you think about throw to complete it? This is the kind of stuff that
it is impossible to defend. You just can't do it, because you can draw up a coverage and a pressure scheme. And for a good chunk of that game, the Patriots, who are firm believers, Bill Belichick is a firm believer that you can have a fantastic pass rush, you can have an incredible secondary, but if you have just an average pass rush and an average secondary working in concert together, it's much better. Because you can get after somebody, you can pressure them to high heaven, and if you've got breakdowns left and right in the secondary, they're still going to make plays. Conversely, if you've got a great secondary, but guys got all day to throw, it's hard to cover somebody for 8, 10, 12 seconds into a given play. But the Patriots did a very good job of marrying their pressure schemes with the coverage. But when you've got the ability to drop arm angle, throw it around, and basically throw sliders with a football, you can't defend it. It's impossible to defend. And these are the things that are going to keep defensive coordinators up night after night after night as we get into next season. And every single time they have to face Patrick Mahomes, it's like, look, you can come up with a great set of, a great game plan for this guy, but you're not going to be able to slow him down for all 60 minutes. It's next to impossible. The Patriots are 2-0 against Patrick Mahomes, and each was a one-score game that came down to either overtime or, the final play. In games where the Patriots had a double-digit lead at halftime, because you can slow him down, but you cannot stop him.
Well, and it's been forever since Chiefs Kingdom could say that they had a QB that could do that. I think it's a phenomenal thing that they're going to be watching for years to come. And that play, specifically against Claiborne, shows you the value of Watkins and his ability, winning inside inside on slants, because those are types of plays that you're going to have a very hard time defending, like you said, mainly because in that situation, your corner is playing, it looked like he's playing outside leverage. Because you're figuring that there's no way Mahomes is going to be able to make that throw with your rusher coming the way he was.
I mean, that was –
and he still stood in and did it.
There were moments in that game where you could tell that, look, the New England Patriots were trying to stop X, and Patrick Mahomes still did X. And that's probably the highest compliment that you could give any player. This is like, look, we did everything we could to prevent you from doing this thing, and you were still able to do this thing because of how talented you are. And it's not like, look, it's not like this was the Oakland Raiders across the ball here. This was the New England Patriots, a team that had probably the best defense left in the playoffs, and a team that is now going to their third straight Super Bowl against Bill Belichick, who has game plans that are literally in the Hall of Fame. And they had things that they designed to do to take away from Patrick Mahomes, and he was still able to do them. And if that's not the greatest thing, greatest compliment you can give a quarterback, I don't know what it is.
Well, and then the one thing that I really liked hearing about the game or after the game was Brady making sure that he went Kansas City locker room and asked security to talk to Mahomes.
That tells you, and of course there were some that will say that, look, it's because, you know, Brady got a little bit of strife for not, you know, visiting with Foles after the Super Bowl. And yes, Brady won the game, so it's easier to make the move like that. But still, you know, Tom Brady near the back nine, on the back nine, might be on the 18th hole for all we know of his career. But you can tell that, look, he sees something in Mahomes that we're all seeing. You know, and Tom Brady, you know, he would tell you that, look, I watch all these guys. I study all these guys. I know what these other guys are doing. He, like everybody else, is becoming a fan of what Patrick Mahomes can do. And he just wanted to let him know that, look, you know, I'm sure that he told him that this will not be your final stop here. You're going to be in more games like this, and you're going to win your fair share of them.
Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the Senior Bowl, and I'm sure we're going
to
have you
back. Sounds great, Chris. Always great to
be with
you. Thanks, buddy, for having me on.
Discuss a little bit more about this QB.
All you Chiefs fans, I know this one stings. I know it, but you guys will be back. You guys have such a fantastic, young, talented quarterback that I literally think the world of. And, you know, when the day comes that Brady is gone, there will be a red number 15 jersey hanging in my closet. I can guarantee you guys that.
We appreciate that, Mark, and we will be back tomorrow. Thank you all for listening, and talk to you then.